The Lansing Symphony's next concert comes up this Saturday night at the Wharton Center and is the next in their Masterwork series. Current State's Jamie Paisley recently sat down with maestro Timothy Muffett to discuss the three works by Wolfgang that comprise this concert called Mozart Mania.
Timothy Muffett, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This concert that's coming up, you're going through three different phases of Mozart's life, Mozart Mania. And this is very much a meat and potatoes kind of concert for the audience. Tell me about the experience of revisiting these kind of masterworks, because they're all well-known Mozart works.
Sure. Well, whenever we do an all-Mozart program, or really a program of any all-single composer, but especially Mozart, one of the things I try to do is to bring some diversity to the sonic experience, okay? So by that, I mean making sure that each work has a distinctive color palette to some degree. So, for example, on the last program, last time we did an all-Mozart program, I made sure that the overture to the abduction from the Seraglio was on there because there's percussion in that, and percussion is highly unusual for Mozart. And he used that Turkish percussion as a special effect. And so for the listener who's coming in to hear the program, the sonic experience changes up a little bit. And that's very much what behind the design of this program. We'll open the concert with a work for strings only, and then we'll go on to a work for winds only. And then we will put the winds and strings together for his one of his great masterpieces, the Symphony No. 40 in G minor.
Yeah, and no Janissary equipment needed for percussion.
No. But only percussion here is the timpani.
You're starting with the divertimento, which mm-hmm. is strings only. It could even function as a string quartet if you really wanted it to be.
It's probably been played as a string quartet hundreds of thousands of times.
Yeah.
Because as a divertimento, it is entertainment music. It's music that's great for parties, and it's often used that way. It's very frequently still today used in music for social gatherings. But it's also, I mean, because it's Mozart, it's extraordinary music. And it's in an early style, so yes, the movements are typically binary with a first and a second section that are repeated, and we see elements of sonata form filling in here, but the repeats are important. And it's a work that probably deserving of a concert hall setting, and it does, as you say, give us a view into Mozart, the early inspiration, the early voice, and it's just really engaging music too.
And then next, you say you give the strings a break and then go to the grand partita. And you could even have an entire half of the concert devoted to the grand partita in whole, but you're only doing four of the movements.
Correct. Yeah.
Assuming the adagio is definitely in there.
The adagio is definitely in there. The one, the famous scene from Amadeus, I think for many of us, one of our very favorite scenes.
On the page, it looked nothing. The beginning simple, almost comic. Just a pulse, bassoons, basset horns, like a rusty squeeze box. And then, suddenly, high above it, an oboe. A single note hanging there, unwavering. Until a clarinet took it over, sweetened it into a phrase of such delight. This was no composition by a performing monkey. This was a music I'd never heard. Filled with such longing. Such unfulfillable longing.
It was so beautifully done in that movie. The grand partita, you could almost make an entire concert out of it. It runs well over an hour. But I feel that in today's concert hall environment, and especially in the context of our, the way we present concerts with the Lansing Symphony, the number of concerts we present, I wanted to have the Grand Partita represented so our audience can embrace a professional performance of this work in a concert hall. But I didn't want to overload the whole program with 65 minutes of the Mozart Grand Partita, so we created a suite. And I think Mozart would be fine with us creating a suite from this. It's not a, it's a partita. It was designed as entertainment music, much like the divertimento, probably heard in a social gathering. Not necessarily background music, but it could have been. So it's time to put the spotlight on it, and we crafted a nice suite of it that will give people a taste, but allow us to do some other things on the program as well.
We're speaking with Maestro Timothy Muffet, music director of the Lansing Symphony Orchestra here on Current State, and that was a bit from the finale of Mozart's Grand Partita Serenade, being performed at this Saturday evening's Mozart Mania concert. Now, there are frequently guest artists, guest musicians that come to the Lansing Symphony, but this Mozart Mania concert does not. And the great benefit of that is having the local musicians of the Lansing Symphony kind of function as the soloist, the main attraction of this Saturday's Wharton Center concert, right?
Yeah, that was a part of it, too, because we don't have a traditional concerto soloist. The Grand Partita sort of fits that bill because it's a small ensemble of all winds, and we'll use a double bass in there as well. We have the option of using double bass, and I think that adds a nice texture. It's a single double bass player. So the Grand Partita is one, it's a small wind group, and that almost fits the role of the concerto, quote unquote concerto on the program.
Because you're hearing those homegrown soloists.
Solo voices, right.
And the Grand Partita is middle era Mozart, Mozart at his most successful time in his own lifetime, from the trilogy of works that the Lansing Symphony Orchestra will perform at the Mozart Mania concert Saturday night. Ending with, I assume the second half, is Mozart in financial trouble, mm-hmm. which he was frequently in, particularly towards the end.
Right. The Symphony No. 40, which...
you might not even have heard.
That's very possible, sure. Symphony No. 40, which everyone would recognize, the first movement especially, it's truly remarkable music. It's one of the final symphonies that he wrote, and all those were created in this burst of inspiration. This work always leaves me imagining what Mozart might have written had he lived longer. He takes us into such uncharacteristic places, harmonically yeah. especially. I mean, there is a passage in here that is completely without key, where there is no tonal center. He just was exploring new directions of harmony, both on the local scale and on the grand scale, and it's just fascinating music, along with being extraordinary just in its own sake. I mean, from sort of a musicological perspective, when I come at a piece of music like this, I wonder, what if we would have gotten 10 more years out of him? What if we would have gotten 5 more years out of his tragically short life? Where would he have taken music?
Music director of the Lansing Symphony, Timothy Muffet, on this Saturday's Mozart Mania concert at the Wharton Center, which begins at 8 o'clock. You can also come see Maestro Muffet speak with WKAR's Jody Knoll in person about the concert during the preview discussion at 7:15 in the Jackson National Lounge. Tickets and more information are at lansingsymphony.org. Maestro Timothy Muffet, thanks for coming to WKAR.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.